Well, it's good to be here. That was Susan DeSony. That was Sue Brinkman. You can see I have too many regular guests, right? We're going to be talking to her in a moment. She's joined us, talked about everything from smudging to yoga. She came out with a new book. I want to get you plugged into it. I think it's an important thing. I think we live in times where Satan, where the evil one, where demonic forces are more active and visible than ever. And I know some people poo-poo that idea. They think that's ridiculous. Not me. I think you see it in the desecrations that are taking places in churches all over the country and the stealing of tabernacles and consecrated hosts. You see it when officers sitting in cars get shot at. You see it when civilians don't care about their fellow civilian and they burn businesses and they loot. And you see it in so many ways on the altar of sacrifice with abortion, you know, or on our in our courts when we re-legislate things like marriage. I mean, if there is ever a nation in a time that deserves God's justice, I would say it's ours, but thank God for divine mercy. The Lord himself, I really believe, he told Faustina, this is the time of mercy. Before I come as a just judge, I first come as a merciful Savior. But woe to those of you who do not recognize this time of my visitation. So how do we see through the haze? How do we see through the smog, the fog, the deception that is out there? Because the culture can be quite blinding, quite deceptive. How do you see with your spiritual glasses? There's a book out called Fight Like a Catholic, Spiritual Warfare in Catholic Tradition. In a moment, Susan Brinkman's going to be stopping by. I want to give you a quick programming note before we do. Later this week, and I believe it's Wednesday, I'm trying to get this scheduled. My producers are working on it right now. There is a wonderful priest I met when I was in Maine about a week or two ago, and he did a 25-part series on spiritual warfare. Now, why is it significant? I don't know if you know this. On June 2nd, 1938, Jesus himself appeared to a young Polish nun. Her name was Sister Faustina, and he personally directed her. He gave her a 25-part retreat on spiritual warfare. And what I'm going to do in the days ahead is I'm going to bring this priest on right before the chaplet every day, and I'll take you through one of the lessons that the Lord has taught St. Faustina and how you can apply them to your lives. So the Lord was aware, and he wanted to arm Faustina, he wanted to arm you and me, for the reality of the demonic, the fact that spiritual warfare was real, that is indeed a part of our life, and I want you to do the same. There's all sorts of division going on in the world and in the family right now, but the spiritual battle for souls and the souls of those that we love, that should take primacy, and you need to make sure you're armed with your spiritual weapons. We need to fight like a Catholic. And I'm joined today by Sue Brinkman. She is the author and award-winning journalist who wrote the book, Fight Like a Catholic, Spiritual Warfare in the Catholic Tradition. And this is a must-read. I have a copy in my hand here, and it's always good to talk with her. Sue, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for your support as I was writing this book.
I don't have
the most glamorous job in the Catholic Church, you know, writing about all this stuff, but it was just nice to have support from people like you.
Well, I love that.
Who prayed for me and kept me in your prayers so that I could come out with this. And survive, right?
I received a letter from Sue. I have it in my hand here. She said, "Hey, Drew, thanks so much for your endorsement. Researching the New Age and the occult is not the most glamorous job in the church, but thanks for your support." It's important, Sue, because not a whole lot of people are talking about it, and yet this is the cause of a lot of problems that people are facing physically and spiritually and with their marriages and a whole level of planes. Let's talk about this reality for a moment, if you could. I mentioned that St. Faustina, the Lord gave her a 25-part retreat on spiritual warfare. I'm going to be sharing that later in the week, but let's talk a little bit about your book. As I was going through it today before the show, as I always prep, I went through your book once again, and I thought, you know what, you and I could do a chapter a week. There is so much stuff in this, from who is Satan to how to combat him to everything from, you know, yoga to spells. I mean, it's so diverse. It's a great read for people. But take us through it. I mean, what's the church teach regarding the reality of the evil one and spiritual warfare? Because I don't want people to think that Satan's under every rock and behind every door, yet he is our enemy, and he is definitely impeding, you know, our quest to be with our eternal Father.
He absolutely is. And I took a lot of inspiration from Pope Paul VI and his comments in 1972 when he was giving a catechesis on the devil. And he said something, and I just never forgot that. He said, about Satan, that he is the evil and cunning charmer who knows how to infiltrate everyone's individual psychology. He finds the open door and comes in through our senses, our imagination, and our concupiscence. And when I read that, it just gave me the chills. I thought, what is he talking about? When you really start to study church teaching on Satan and who he is, and you come to understand the insane hatred that he has for God and how much he wants to get back at God by destroying us, and uses all of these preternatural powers of his to trip us up, to tempt us, to fool us. When you come to realize that, you understand things so much more clearly, and I feel like that's what people are missing. So many people out there really believe that a medium can conjure the dead. You know, they really believe that. They believe that you can find out about the future by consulting tarot or casting runes. They really believe this stuff. They have no idea of who is behind it, why they're being tempted to do these things. You know, he always appeals to our base human nature, our desire to have secret knowledge, or our desire to have power over others. We all have this in us to one degree or another, and he plays upon that, and he uses all these preternatural powers. I think, Drew, in this whole book, the most important chapter is that first one. I felt wonderful actually getting that off my chest and saying, look, do you know what it means to have preternatural power? Do you know how a preternatural being communicates, what kind of strength they have, what kind of intelligence they have, how do they move from place to place? You know, they move at the speed of thought. I mean, to understand the enormous power that a preternatural being has, you would no longer be fooled by thinking that a medium can conjure the dead. Of course Satan's doing that.
Yep.
You know, the dead can't communicate with us anyway, theologically speaking. You know, without the body, the soul can't communicate with the visible world. We can't speak. We aren't, right? We don't have a mouth. We can't see. We don't have eyes anymore. How do you communicate with the material world? You can't. Yep. The only way it happens is if God allows it and facilitates it.
It's such a great point you bring up, you know, and I think about how clever the evil one is. You know, you take a look at John Edwards, or you take the Long Island medium, or now they've got this medium to the stars, some young kid in Hollywood that's doing the same thing. And, you know, they reveal things that absolutely have these people spellbound and captivated. There's these nuggets of truth mixed, I think, with tremendous deception. But there are a lot of people who swear that these people have been able to communicate with, you know, with their departed loved ones. On this point, because I'm sure it's a curiosity for a lot who are listening right now, what do we know about that? And we know that divination and conjuring, the catechism is very clear on that. We're not to do that at all. But how do these mystics get the information they do? And what advice would you give to those who say, well, I go to a fortune teller, or, you know, I've had some really positive experiences. What are your words?
Well, how the devil does that is he mimics your deceased relative. Devils are observing all of us, and they've been observing all of us since Adam and Eve. They are experts at observation of humankind. They know exactly what your Uncle Joe did for a living. They know that how he used to tug on your hair in that special way. They know how your Aunt Emma used to hum while she was baking pies. They know all this stuff. This is a cakewalk for Satan. They see all this stuff. Plus, they communicate with one another. They talk to each other and they pass the information around. So one devil will say, oh, you know, your client, this is from like the Screwtape letters, right? Mm-hmm. Your client is going to go see a medium, and this is what the Uncle Joe used to do, because I used to watch him and this is what he used to do, and feeds that information to the psychic. And the psychic actually thinks they are communicating. Many of them do, Drew. They believe they are communicating with the dead. They have no clue that in many cases that they are consorting with the demon. Some of them do, of course, come around to that, but many of them don't, and they really think that they're providing closure for people when really they're being played. They're being played by Satan. He knows all this stuff. He's watching you and me right now. He sees everything we're doing. He sees everything that's on my desk right now. He knows what I'm writing. He's not allowed to do anything with it because he can't do anything that God doesn't permit him to do.
That's right.
But he's perfect. He's sitting there observing everything. These are powerful beings, and we have to come to, I think if we understood that a little bit better, we wouldn't be so easily fooled.
It's such a great point. If you think about that, I never really thought about that. He knows your deepest, darkest secrets. He knows.
If you tell him.
Yeah, or where you hid something or what you've done. If he, you know, he's been around to see those types of things. And he's a clever intellect. He's an angelic intellect. And you point out these preternatural powers that make him a master of illusion. There are often deceptive healings that sometimes take place. What are the other things that Satan does in terms of his preternatural types of gifts? And we know that he can manifest. In fact, with St. Faustina, Satan appeared to her as an angel one time and told her to destroy the diary of all the messages that the Lord had been given her, you know, and she followed him. She didn't realize, she thought it was an angel commanding her to do this. So when a spiritual director found out about it, he recognized what was going on here, and she had to re-record. That's why the diary's not always in the same order. But here you even have a great mystic, a great saint who was deceived. That's another one of the ghosts. How do you discern these types of things, where you see angels of light, where you see so-called healings? How do you discern the evil one, the true from the false, if you would, is probably what I'm trying to get to.
Well, as far as apparitions are concerned, he's got a whole business going out there on apparitions, and that's why you let the church speak on that. You let the church speak on that. They have certain criteria that they look for, such as the holiness of life, the practice of virtue, and the seer. They go through a lot of that stuff, and that's why I always tell people, just rely on the church, because they know what they're doing. And, you know, Satan has a whole cottage industry, as I said, out there on that particular thing. One of the things he does, though, that I think for predicting the future, he's not allowed to know our future.
Yeah.
And he can't read our minds. He's not allowed to do that either. But because he is so skilled at observing, and has been observing really since man began, on Earth. I mean, he's had many, 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 many thousands of years to observe us. He's very good at putting together what might happen. And he's described in the book, he's one of the exorcists that whose books I used as a basis for some of the material in the book, said that he's like a really good weatherman, the kind that doesn't mess up. You know, he really can come up with about what is going to happen to you in your life. And I know I had experience at that with a psychic that I went to years and years and years ago. This was before I returned to the church. Yeah. And she told me that in my middle age, I would be on television.
Wow.
And I had, what is she talking about? I wasn't even a published author at that point. I had no idea what she was talking about.
Wow.
And, you know, when I was about, 55 or so years old, I did start going on EWTN.
Yeah.
And that always bothered me. How did he know that?
Yeah.
What did he see in my writings, you know, my little diaries and stuff that I might have said about, you know, I would like to, you know, go out into the world and tell this or tell that, that he would put those things together and say, oh, yeah, you're going to be on television. And as soon as that psychic said that to me and then it happened, I thought, wow, maybe she really is. She's got something here. This is true. She knows something. And you think that person has some kind of special power, and that's exactly what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to get you to go there when you need help, not go to God. So the temptations are he's very successful at that,
You bring up such a wonderful point. I remember my wife, when we were engaged, right, to get married, her girlfriends took her out one night, and all the girlfriends, they went into some sort of card reader, tarot card reader, whatever. She really didn't want to go in, didn't really believe in the stuff, but the girls paid for it. They made her go in. And this is before she really came, you know, became deeper in her faith. And you know what the medium or the psychic or whatever the encounter was, whoever was reading the cards, told her not to marry me. Told her to marry, you know, somebody else, not to marry me. And, you know, that's how clever Satan is, 'cause, you know, she's been the best thing that ever happened to me, you know, so she's made me a better man. But at the same time, we were meant to be together, and I think I've made her, helped draw her maybe a little closer to the Lord. We have five beautiful children, you know, and I just think of how different the world would be if she made that decision, if she would have listened to that deceptive spirit. But you know, he knew her intimately. He knew me. You know, I was a very prayerful person at the time, and, you know, who knows what the future held. But that's why you got to be very careful about taking advice from these total strangers, because quite often it's not in your best interest, is it? It's quite often to your detriment.
That's right. Anytime you consort with powers that are not sourced in God, you are in very dangerous territory. Oh. There's just no other way to put it. It's very, very dangerous. You are now consorting with the evil one or with different instruments that he uses in order to bring these things about. And I think mediums right now are probably the biggest and the most popular thing going right now. All of a sudden, there's just this resurgence in mediums. And people are very, very duped by thinking that they're going to be able to contact their dead, and they're, of course, not able to do that. Yeah. Only God can facilitate that. And he does do that. You know, the poor souls in purgatory, we know that he appears to people. Our Lady has appeared to people. Yeah. He facilitates that. But he tells us in Deuteronomy 18:10 that he will have nothing to do with people who conjure the dead. He calls them an abomination. And God doesn't contradict himself. So there's no way that he's going to appear to the Long Island medium for the sake of the television series that she's involved in. I mean, it's just not going to happen. He's not, so not going to do that.
It's just so true. My guest today is Sue Brinkman. If you want to join us, and Sue, look, we've got to do this. I want to bring you back, maybe even on a weekly basis. We can go through different aspects of the book. I think it's so important to have people be aware of the spiritual realities of this life and the many deceptions that perhaps they can innocently fall prey to. She wrote a book called Fight Like a Catholic, Spiritual Warfare in the Catholic Tradition. It's a great read. It's just out. I'll tell you how to get it, so grab a pen and paper, okay? Got to take a short pause. When we come back, I'll grab a few of your telephone calls, too. So feel free to join the conversation. We'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Good to be with you today. I'll grab a couple of your calls. My guest, Sue Brinkman, author of Fight Like a Catholic. And you can learn more at CatholicLifeInstitute.org. If you follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show or at Drew Mariani, you'll find links for it. Jake just put it up. You know, John Paul II, who was a man intimately connected to God. I mean, he walked with one foot in heaven, one foot here on earth. I mean, he was an extraordinary saint. He once said something I never forgot. He said, he who does not believe in the devil does not believe in the gospel. And there are a lot of people today who think, the devil's a manifestation. It's made up. It's fable. It's not real. He says, look, the devil is the prince of the world. He says, you've got to be aware of his reality. And he says spiritual combat is another element of life which needs to be taught anew and proposed once more to Christians today. And that's what Sue Brinkman is doing this afternoon. She wrote a great book. And Sue, I hope I'm giving the right address for it. Is that the best place to get it? CatholicLifeInstitute.org?
CatholicLifeInstitute.org. And we're also doing a 6-week course on this book, where I'm going to flesh out these chapters. Not for the faint-hearted. You're going to hear a lot of stuff that's not on the nightly news that's associated with just how real this is. And you'll find information at that website, CatholicLifeInstitute.org.
All right. Well, I hope it's called Fight Like a Catholic. Jake linked over to it, so you'll find it there, too. I want to grab a caller, too. Before I get to the phones, and Rebecca's got a great question for you. What kind of spiritual attack did you come under when you were working on this book? Because I'm sitting here knowing that when you do something for God and something that's going to expose the evil one, clearly there has got to be spiritual attack.
There is, but it's just the typical stuff, and I'm so used to it now, Drew. It's not really that big a deal. I can't find the book I need. I won't be able to find the page. My computer starts acting up, different things like that. But I stay very, very close to the Lord.
That's awesome.
And very close in particular to Our Lady, under the title of Queen of Angels and Mount Carmel.
I love that.
And very, very close to her in particular. And I live very much in peace. And when I was writing the book, I was very much in peace. And it was a very joyful experience for me because it had been on my heart for so long to write this. I felt so bad for people because it's not their fault that they don't know this. It's not their fault, Drew. Nobody's teaching it.
I agree. Let me grab a caller, too. We only got a couple minutes left. We'll do this next week, too. I'm going to give you much more time.
Okay.
We need at least an hour to unpack some of this. But let's go to Bloomington, Minnesota right now. Rebecca, good afternoon.
Hello. I'll try to make it quick.
Sure.
So I'm wondering, in your specialty, if you have suggestions, I would like to know if I can determine if I was affected when I was very young, like we'll call it five years old approximately. Mm-hmm. There was a seance, Ouija board thing going on with some older cousins in the room, and I vaguely remember it. So I know that I was at least in the outer circle, if you will. And then in a second occurrence, at one point, there was this game people used to play where, you know, they'd put like two fingers underneath. You lay down on the carpet and then two fingers around the body and you say, oh, there's been a terrible accident, blah, blah, blah. And they go into this little chant and they lift you. So I've always wondered if, have I been tainted? Have I been affected? Or do I need to do something to make myself more clean?
That's follow? That's a good question. That's a great question. Because you know what? I used to play that game too. And my grandmother used to play with the Ouija board with us.
Oh my
my grandmother used to actually do that. First of all, Satan can only do what God permits him to do. If you are in a state of grace, and if you are you're practicing your faith, you're staying close to the Lord in prayer, you're going to be fine. If you fall into something out of ignorance or that, he's going to protect you. He takes very good care of his own. The key here is to always be staying in a state of grace. However, when I did come back to church, I did confess any kind of involvement that I had, even in playing those silly games when I was growing up. I confessed the Ouija board. I forget what we used to call that game now, but it was the levitation game, I think, is what we used to refer to it as. I just confessed all that to get it off my chest, and I renounced it to the Lord, and I said to him, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did any of those things. I was stupid. I'm sorry I did it. And Jesus will forgive you right away. He doesn't. He's fine. You just have to go in there and make that confession. If it bothers you and it's still bothering you that you're bringing it up this many years later, just go ahead and confess the next time and say, you know, I just want to confess any involvement I had with a cult, even things that seemed innocent to me. I just want to confess it. Because once you do that, you can now shut that door and never look back. To believe in the mercy of God because you have it.
All right, Rebecca, it's a great question. In fact, I only have less than a minute. Otherwise, I would dive into it a little deeper with you. But we're going to bring Sue Brinkman back. We'll take a look at everything from the Ouija board. There's calls on hold regarding yoga and Qigong and all sorts of different things here. So we'll explore this in the days ahead. The book, if you'd like to get it, is called Fight Like a Catholic, and you can go to Sue's website, a very simple website to remember, CatholicLifeInstitute.org, CatholicLifeInstitute.org. If you follow us on Twitter, we linked over to it there. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Thank you.
Day 7, Mother Divine Grace, pray for us. Grace is such a Catholic word. They say you can't see grace because it's invisible, but what do they know anyway? I say you can see the effects of grace. You can see it in a smile. You can feel it in a handshake. You can give it with your helping hand. You can hear it in kind and gentle and peaceful words of people who walk with Jesus. You can be inspired by it by those who courageously and steadfastly give witness to the truth. St. Pius X, who had a great love for the Blessed Mother, once wrote, quote, "To desire grace without recourse to the Virgin Mother is to desire to fly without wings," end quote. So get it whenever you can. Sanctifying grace, sacramental grace, actual grace, charismatic grace, and the state of grace God gives you to carry out your special tasks and responsibilities. Mother Divine Grace, pray for the Church and our nation.
Receive these free daily messages by signing up at relevantradio.com/novena.
It's so very encouraging to hear from our listeners who benefit from our program. I want to invite you to join the St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Your ongoing monthly gift is a gift that keeps on giving.
Learn more at relevantradio.com/Joseph.